You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for a lot of years, Raising the Standard, and that's what we do on this program. And we've been on 20-plus years. It's 21 years now. I'm losing track of the time. But we're honored to be here, and we were off for so long with my sickness and illness and all that, but I'm recovering, and so we're just glad to be back here so you can all listen to us every Saturday. And we have a strong urge in our heart to tell you about a lot of things about the Jewish roots that's in our Bible that people don't think about. And we're in a very important time right now. If you've even been watching TV, and we see all the people down at the Western Wall that are praying and asking God to forgive them, they're repenting. But like we mentioned before many times in the program, if you don't have Him to start with, there's no way to have forgiveness. There's only forgiveness in Yeshua HaMashiach, no other way. So we got to keep praying for them. And so this time called the time of Teshuvah, which means to return or to repent, actually lasts for 40 days. It starts on Elul 1, and I believe today is the 9th of Elul, and it ends on Tishri 10, which is the Day of Atonement. So it's a very important time with the Jewish people over there right now. And they're examining themselves to see where they're at. And we should be doing that all the time, not just this time of the year. What's it tell us in the scriptures? Examine yourself to see, are you in the faith? Are you there? That's what we've got to keep in our hearts, mind all the time. And so we're honored to be here. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. So I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. If you can't, we offer CDs. And all we ask for is a love offering. Whatever the Lord would show you to make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and mail to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. So stay tuned, we hope, with us for the whole hour. We got one of our elders in our church with us here. We got Margie Swaney with us again today, bless her heart. She's here, and she tells us a lot of good things from the Torah, which is good. We need to know that. And the church has a thought about that in a lot of areas. We're not going to get into that today, but that the Torah's been done away with. But that's our guide. That's the guide that we need. That's the schoolmaster to bring us to the Messiah even and all that. And so, anyway, I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. So we're going to talk about this time called Teshuvah today a little bit. And there's so much in it. And in fact, in my book, I've got two lessons on trumpets because there's so much. And I could have put a lot more in here, which we didn't, but we maybe will in the future. But this is an incredible time of the year. And it leads up to the most important day on the Jewish calendar. And I hope you that go to church understand it's called the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. And what I like about all this, we're going to find out today, that God is so gracious with the Jewish people. You know, the Feast of Trumpets is called the Day of Judgment. And so is the Day of Atonement. It's called a Day of Judgment. We're going to talk about this. On Rosh Hashanah, trumpets, one day at the end of Jacob's trouble, the last year, God's going to open up all the books and examine people. Well, if they're in the right book, fine. But if they're not and they don't know the Messiah, well, then they're going to have 10 more days to get right with Him before the Lord comes back. And so it takes you out to the Day of Atonement on Tishri 10. So that's the second. That's the final judgment. So we have to remember that. And I want to clarify one thing. A lot of people, you read books and people hear about His second coming. What are we talking about? Well, you know, we know he had a first advent when He was born to His mother Mary. And now we know he's getting ready to come back. Well, his second coming to me is when he's going to come back for the ecclesia, hushamana, the church, all those in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jew or Gentile, that know the Lord. There's going to be a resurrection out from among the dead, and there'll also be a snatching away of all the believers on the earth that know and believe in Christ Messiah, okay? And so it's very important that they understand that. Well, that day is so important, and then they go into the days of awe, and that's what they call them, the 10 days of awe. And during that week, they greet each other and say, may you be inscribed in the book of life, the Jews. Well, what book of life is it? It has to be the Lamb's book of life. And if not, well, it won't do anything. And then on the Day of Atonement, they say, may you be what? Inscribed, huh? More than being inscribed. May you be sealed. May you be sealed until the Day of Atonement, during those 10 days, knowing that one day that the Messiah is going to come back on that date. And we can read in Acts chapter 1 when he left the earth. At that time, he says he's coming back in like manner, right back to the Mount of Olives, not to New York, not to Chicago, not to L.A., to Miami. He's coming right back there. And so we need to keep those two terms straight. Second coming, he's going to come for us, the church. And what are they going to do? We're going to be resurrected out from the grave. If we're dead and been in Christ, we're going to go be with the Lord. And there'll be a group. I hope I'm in that group.
You will be.
That will,
thank you, Lord.
That will never go by the way of the grave. And then we're going to be immediately after that, after the dead in Christ raised, we're going to be snatched off the earth and be with the Lord forevermore. And Paul said over there, what? Rejoice in that, because that's what's going to happen. So we want to talk about this time a little bit. And we'll see what the Lord shows us as we go along. Yes, honey?
That's our desire, isn't it?
That's right.
To be caught away?
Yes. That's right.
Be the first ones to be caught up in the air with the Lord, because he's coming back. But you're talking about this repentance. Teshuva means to turn, right?
That's right. Turn around.
Or to return back to where you began. And, you know, when you're talking about the Torah, we need to return back to the Torah as well, because the word commandments mentioned so many times in the what we call the New Testament. So what is it doing? It's returning us back to look at how God set it up in
Absolutely.
The beginning, so we would know, because that's our teacher and our instruction. I want to mention also that as we're recovering, as we're both recovering, thank you for your prayers, keeping us
Amen.
In prayer, because we're still on that road of recovering. I'm taking some treatments and still just keep us in prayer. Amen. Thank you for that. And I want to mention also that we do have Saturday services, Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, from 2 to 4, and we meet at the Alliance Church, and that's on Osceola Street. And what is the address?
445 Osceola.
445 Osceola. That's right next to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little white church. It's at the Alliance Church there. So come and join us on Saturday, today, that'd be today, at 2 o'clock.
2 to 4.
We have communion, and we honor the Sabbath.
Absolutely.
Not legalistically, but because God told to remember the Sabbath.
That's right.
So the Sabbath was set up before the Ten Commandments were given to
in
Moses.
In the Torah, that's right.
In the Torah over there, you know. So we need to remember that. And actually, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So it's a day of rest.
Absolutely.
And it's a day that you spend time with your brothers and sisters and to honor the Sabbath. So we do that, and that's every Saturday from 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock. So come join us one day, and we would love to see you. I want to give our phone number before we start.
Okay.
If you'd like to give us a phone call, it would be area code 772-285-7007. That's 285-7007. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, Pastor Jim.
We didn't mention that. We're not mentioning it again. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, if you can't listen to the whole program, all we ask for is a love offering. And you make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413-413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip is 34995. We'd appreciate it. Anything, any help would be greatly appreciated to keep the program on the air. And like we mentioned in many times, you know, we've been on the program in, 20-plus years?
Yes.
And we're 21 now. July the 8th was the 21st year that we've been on the radio here in Stuart, Florida. And so we're honored to be here with you.
Amen.
And so as we share this with you today, I hope you get something out of it. Think about it. So this is all in your Bible. I'm not going to give you anything that's not in the Bible, okay? And when I wrote this book, that's what the Lord told me. He says, don't put anything in this book that you don't have at least two examples to prove what you're talking about. Don't pick out one verse and take it out of context. And we have a lot of that going on in the church today. You know, we have a text, and then they make up their own thought with it, and they wind up getting true understanding, they get a pretext, what they think it means, okay?
And so it makes me think of pretend.
Pretend, that's right.
You know, I might want to mention, too, you might want to hold up your book, so because we're also, this program's also on Facebook, so Facebook people can see it, and also that this is going to be on YouTube as well, so people can listen to it again, and also on WCNO. Now, that's a good picture right there, Pastor Gene. Mm-hmm. On WCNO, we are on all worldwide. People can listen to us and go back and listen to the podcast at any time. So what does that say? It says, God's prophetic calendar, prophetic pictures of the Messiah as revealed in the feasts of the Lord. So these are the feasts of the Lord, not the feasts of just the Jews, but the feasts of the Lord. And so we know who the Lord is, don't we?
That's right. Yes. He wants us to honor those, whether we're a Jew or Gentile.
Jew or Gentile.
That's right. So,
amen. So
his
you're going to be
having that. Yeah.
This book has has all the feasts of the Lord in it, and many charts in the back about the end times, and also don't you cover Daniel and the Book of Revelation in here
well? Yeah.
Why do you use those two books with the feasts of the Lord? Well, I'll tell you why. Because that's what most people use for prophecy. To tell about, you know, when they believe that the coming of the Lord will be, and to fulfilling prophecy using the two books, Daniel and Revelation, together. So you have those in there because it all ties in with the feasts of the Lord.
Everything connects with God's appointed times.
And so we need to know God's appointed times.
That's right.
And actually, the very first chapter in this book, people need to know, which we haven't talked too much about, is God's calendar.
Calendar.
Because God's calendar is not the same as our calendar. And we say, well, calendars have been changed over the years, down through the years, thousands of years. Yes, they have. But if you go back and you read the book of Revelation, you go back, he takes us right back to the original calendar.
That's right.
Because he gives us the exact number of days.
The biblical calendar.
And so we can't try to manipulate God's days when the book of Revelation lines right up with what the end times.
That's right.
God's calendar.
And I'll tell you all this. I believe this with all my heart. Yeah, I'm not going to cast this in concrete, but with me, it is almost. I believe with all my heart that when the catching away comes and the resurrection out from among the dead, it's going to be on a feast of trumpets. You know, it's honored one of 2 days on a particular year. And so we have all that revealed in the Bible in many places. The only thing we don't have to put in the equation is we don't know for sure what year we're on. But I believe with all my heart, that's when it's going to happen. He's going to come for the church at that particular time. And, of course, that's going to kick off what? Jacob's trouble. It's going to go for 7 years. And then at the very end, I believe with all my heart, the Bible reveals that the Messiah will come back on the Day of Atonement and put his foot again on the Mount of Olives. Why would it be on the Day of Atonement? Because that's the most holy day that God gave the Jewish people. You can read Leviticus chapter 16. It's the only chapter we have in the entire Bible that talks about one of the appointed times and goes into great detail. And it's so important to understand that. And so one day he's going to come back, and it's going to be too late for a lot of people. So that's what we're on this program for. We're raising the standards so you'll know the truth and you won't be fooled, okay? I hear a lot of stuff today, and I just kind of let it go in one ear and out the other. People's wanting to share things that's going to tickle somebody's ear or whatever. We don't need that. We just need the truth of the Word. Jesus told us, Yeshua said, when you know the truth, it will what? Make you free. And that's what we're going to remember, okay?
And the church at wide lot right now, you hear about it everywhere, they're really not coming back to, it's whatever goes, whatever they think is right, whatever kind of church they think they can have.
That's right.
You know, it's not the holy, it's not truth, it's not holiness. And so we need to be seeking holiness, and God's word is truth. And, you know, God doesn't change his mind on how we should live our life.
That's right.
No, he doesn't change his mind at all. He expects us to live a holy life and a set apart life for him. And so, you know, the world and the people in the church can really, and the young people especially, can get confused because they think, like other people think, well, anything goes. You know, Jesus forgives and forgets. But you know what? Jesus, once we come to him, we need to be seeking truth. And the only place we're going to find the truth is in the
Word.
In the Word of God. Amen. Praise God.
So we got Miss Margie here, Sister Margie. You know, she's been taught. Teaching some things at the church about how holy the things are in the Torah and all. She might have a couple things she'd like to talk about that. She did it last week when we had our meeting at the church. And so these things, everything that God gave is holy and has not been done away with. But we got this thought, you know, and like we tell you all the time, this is not suggestions in this book. These are commandments of the Lord to do these things. So we're honoring these appointed times as we talk about the end days. because it's in the Word of God, and God wants us to know the truth. And we can know the truth. We won't be caught in darkness when He comes. Amen? So let's keep that in mind.
Amen. You're going to talk about Teshuvah?
I'm going to talk about Teshuvah for a little bit.
And you also mentioned, I don't know, did you mention this before, that there's thousands of people that are praying at the Wailing Wall.
But if they don't have Yeshua the Messiah, those prayers aren't going anywhere. But the ones that are down here that know the Messiah, well, God's going to listen to them.
And I'm sure there's a lot of them.
Yeah, but there's thousands of people down there asking for forgiveness and repentance. Well, we as the church, what do? Do we do that just once a year? No, we should be doing it all the time, asking the Lord. The Bible says, examine yourself. Are you in the faith or are you not? And so we need to be doing that, not just once a year. But the Jews bring this up to the most holy days on their calendar because they know that one year, it's going to be those last 10 days of this age that we're living. Things are going to change. And so that's what we got to keep that in mind. So God has a plan, and He doesn't have plan B. He only has plan A. He's not changing His mind. What He said is true. So I thought we'd do this.
Well, you know, I want to mention this, Pastor Gene, that many Jewish people are believing in Yeshua now.
That's more and more.
There are many, many Messianic congregations here in the United States, right here in Florida. But right in Israel, in Jerusalem, there are, Pastor Jonathan said, over probably 100 or more, congregations.
Might be more now.
So there's maybe a lot more. But they're down there at that Wailing Wall also repenting. Yeah. And seeking the Lord. You know, the Bible talks about the Jew and the Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
I think of a young man that we've been blessed to meet that's been to our house several times, and I just found out today that he's married to a Jewish lady. I'm thinking, next time I see him, I'm going to say, the Jew and the Gentile, because he said he was raised Catholic. So here you have these two coming together, and that's just that, and the marriage is a picture of us being married to Christ, right?
That's right.
And so here we have, in a natural marriage, here you have a Gentile and a Jew coming together. And that's very common nowadays. 50 years ago, a lot of people didn't do that.
That's right.
But now we're seeing it happen. And even if they're not a strong Christian or they're not really strong in their Jewish belief, God will use that little bit that they do know as they come together in their lives together, living together. And bringing up children that, they're going to be seeking out God.
That's right.
And so because, one believes in God, one may believe that Jesus is the Lord, but here they're going to come together and they're going to be able to discuss the things of the Lord.
Tells us in Ephesians, it's about relationship. Yeah. Tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 about the one new man, Jew and Gentile, in the Messiah.
Amen. Praise God.
Well, what I like to talk about, Rosh Hashanah, that we're coming up on that, is known as Yom HaDin, means a day of judgment. What does God do on that particular day? Everyone will be passed before the Lord, and He's going to make a judgment on where they're at. And so the Jewish people believe there's three categories that God puts you in. There's three books, in other words. And I'm going to show you the books. You're going to say, well, where do the books come from in the Bible? I'm going to show you where they come from. Well, the first one is the Book of the Righteous. These three people right here, Don and I and Margie, were in the Book of the Righteous because we know the Messiah, okay? So Revelation 21:27 says this, and there shall be no wise enter into it. I'm sorry, and there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. And here's the key part. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So he's talking about a book, okay? That's the first one. Now the second one is called the book of the wicked. Now God knows people that's come to the earth. He knows all their hearts. Tells us in John chapter 1 that Jesus knew all men. God knows all us. And so there's a group of people that are wicked, and God knows they'll never change. I call them vessels fit for destruction. Now, we can look at that. Oh, somebody wants to turn to Psalm 69 for me.
69.
There's one verse that kind of gives us a clue about this. Psalm 69.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Verse 28.
Right, 28. Go ahead and read it.
Let them be blotted out of the book of the living.
Okay, see, that's the wicked group. Go ahead.
And not be written with the righteous.
There you go. So we see the wicked and the righteous in that lesson. Or that verse, amen? So God's revealing that to us. Now, the third book is where most people are at today. I call them the Book of the Intermediates. They're in the Valley of Decision. They haven't made a decision for Christ. Some people live the best they can, like the gentleman we talked to today, where he was raising his daughter and all that. He was doing the best he could, and he thinks that's going to be okay. But see, the key thing is Jesus made it clear that He's the way, the truth, and life, and no man will come to the Father except by Him. And so we have to point him to that. We have to point him to Yeshua. He's the only way to come. And so
Let me add this. Also, the Bible says to train up a child the way he should go. So it's not that training up a child in a certain religion. It's training up a child in the way he should go. And where our instructions come from, they come from the Bible.
Amen? That's right.
And the home is the best place to train up a child. You know, you can't train up a child for an hour in a synagogue or in a church or in Sunday school or expect somebody else to train up your child. No, that's not God's plan. God's plan is not that other people to train up our children.
That's it.
We are to train up our children. Margie's smiling. She must have something about this because we are to do that. It's a responsibility. When you have been given a gift of a child, you're to care for that child. You're to protect that child. Look what's happened to children right now that's in the church. Look what's happened, what's on the news all the time, what's going on in the Catholic Church right now.
Yeah.
It's not just the Catholic Church. I'm sure it's happened in many, many places. Children are being abused and hurt and destroyed. But we are parents, and the parents and the grandparents and the family are to train up our child and to teach them the things that are true and godly and raise them the right way. And don't turn them over to other people to take care of.
Or teach them.
Because you don't know what they're going to teach them. You don't know what they're going to say. You don't know the school. Look at the school system. They're not teaching them anything godly. There's no Ten Commandments on the school walls anymore, unless you're going to a Christian school. But no, there's not. There was when I went to school, Ten Commandments were on the wall. They said prayers every morning before school started. Not anymore. It needs to come back. We need to pray for that to come back.
Yes.
But still, the place to train up your child is in your home.
That's right.
Amen. I had to get that in, Pastor.
Okay. Now we're going to look at one other book. The other book that he's going to talk, we mentioned, is the book I call the Book of the Intermediates, the ones that are in the valley of decision. Joel chapter 2 talks about that. Well, Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 and 18 brings this clear. I'm going to read this. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord, hear this? I did a series a long time ago about the fear of the Lord. Spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance, hear this, a book of remembrance, or the intermediates, was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Pretty powerful, huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewel. See, we're called a jewel in his eye. Aren't you glad? Special treasure. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Verse 18. Then shall he return. Here's our word, teshuva. And discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now, somebody might be asking right now, well, where do you find this thing about books? Well, I'm going to talk to you about this for a moment. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this right out of my book about Rosh Hashanah. The Jewish Talmud, if you don't have a copy of that, you can get it and read it. There's a lot in it. It tells you what goes on at every one of the appointed times. Also has much to say regarding the days of awe. Why did we mention that about that? Between what? Trumpets and the Day of Atonement. So in the Talmud, Rosh Hashanah 1 verse 13 says, all things are judged on Rosh Hashanah, and their fate is sealed on Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. Are the words of this rabbi by the name of Meir and Rabbi Judah in the name of Rabbi Akiva, says all things are judged on Rosh Hashanah. Also in another section of Rosh Hashanah, chapter 16, verses B and through 17a, says it has been taught this by the school of Shammai that says there will be three classes of people on the final day of judgment. One of the holy righteous, we've talked about that. One of the holy wicked, and one of the intermediates, or the ones that are sitting in the valley of decision. The holy righteous are at once inscribed and sealed for life in the world to come. The holy wicked are at once inscribed and sealed for Gehenna, or perdition is what it's called in the Greek. For this reason, it is fit that we celebrate Rosh Hashanah as a festive day, but since it is a day of judgment for all the living things, it is also fit that we observe Rosh Hashanah with greater fear and awe than all other festive days. Right now, the Jews are examining themselves greatly because they know this is the ninth of Av. Time's moving on. They got till the end of the month. And they want to make sure they're in one of these three books. But see, they don't realize that there's only one book that they want to get put into, and you can only get there with Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen? Now, the last part, because Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment, awe and even dread are part of its message to the world. Each day of the preceding month, Elul, which we just came out of, a shofar. You think during the month of Elul, a shofar is blown every single day in the morning at the morning sacrifice. If they were doing those at this time, but they're not. They did back then. Following each morning service, this was at 9 a.m., the shofar is blown to warn the people that Rosh Hashanah is approaching and that this is the season for what? Repentance. All right? Now let's look at the books. Now I'm going to let Margie talk a little bit about some of the holy things in the Torah. Go to Daniel chapter 7 with me. Excuse me. We're going to see where we get this term about books, okay? Books are plural. It doesn't say a book. It's talking about books, okay? So let's go to Daniel chapter 7 if you're at home. Don't be doing this while you're driving a car, but if you're at home, you can turn to Daniel 7. I'm going to start in verse 9, and we're going to read a few verses here. Excuse me. Now listen to what Daniel saw here. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. So who's the Ancient of Days here? It's God Almighty. It's Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, okay? Whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and the wheels as burning fire. Now verse 10, this is, glory be to God, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. This is a million. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. This is 100 million.
Wow.
Stood before him. Now look at the last sentence in this verse. The judgment was set and the books were open. This is a Rosh Hashanah scripture right here. It's talking about trumpets. All right. The Jews need to understand. Now, if you read your New Testament, Matthew 25, what's it say? God's going to one day, he's going to judge between what? The goat nations and the sheep nations. Mm-hmm. The goats are on the left and the sheep are on the right. So there's going to be a distinction, isn't there? In fact, I found an interesting verse in the Bible this week that I thought was pretty interesting. I might just read that with you. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes. We're talking about, we hear our politicians talk about the left and the right, and the left is always the bad side. So I'm going to go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 with you. I just want to read this verse, and we're going to go on about the books. Look what this says in Ecclesiastes 10. Verse 2 says this, a wise man's heart is at the right hand.
Wow.
Hear that?
Yes.
The right hand of who? Of the Father.
Yes.
And a fool's heart at his left. Okay.
Thank you.
Does that fit the scene today? I think it does.
Yes.
All right. So we're back to this about these books, okay? Now, the other place I want to talk about this, you know, we shared this about the New Testament and all that. Let's go over to the book of Revelation, and we can see some more about the books. Go to Revelation chapter 21, I believe. I didn't write this down, but I did all this by memory. That's in chapter 20. Okay? Hallelujah. Give you a second to get there. We're starting in verse 11. This is after the thousand-year reign, okay? And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, verse 12 is the key one. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books. You notice it's plural? It doesn't say the book. It says, and the books were open, and another book, the third book, was open. What's the third book? That's the book. Huh? What would you think? And the third book was open, which is the book of life. That's the book of the righteous. And if you're not in Yeshua, you will not be put in that book. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books again according to their works. So the books are in the Bible. Now, the Jews don't look at the New Testament, but Margie just read over in Psalm, what was it, 69, how they look at it. The book, they know there's God is keeping score. Did you know that? He's keeping score on our lives, whether we believe it or not. That's why we should be continually examining ourselves. If we find something that's wrong, all we have to do if we know the Messiah is confess it before him, acknowledge it, ask him to forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive you of that sin, and you move on and you forget about it. It'll be as far as the east is from the west. Aren't we glad?
Very glad.
I'm glad. Now, if we look at chapter 20, look at verse 4 of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. John says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Who do you think are sitting on these thrones? All the righteous people. We're going to find this out. All the righteous. And judgment, here you go, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of who? Yeshua, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived, in the Greek here, the grammar says, they lived again and reigned with Christ for how long? 1,000 years. You know, if we didn't have Revelation 20, we wouldn't know how long the kingdom was going to last. It tells you 6 times in this chapter it's going to last for what? 1,000 years. Pretty good, huh?
Yes.
So it's very important we understand what God's wanting us to know here about the books. And so we're being judged, and we're being written in those books, and God wants you to know that. Amen? Hallelujah. So here we are. We're coming up on Rosh Hashanah. That just means the new year, the Jewish New Year. And I know they always call it, very few people in the world call it trumpets. They just call it the new year, because the Jews have these two calendars that Pastor Donna mentioned. There's two calendars in the Bible. There's a that we need to understand. He has his original calendar.
Civil calendar.
The civil calendar. And then he's got a prophetic calendar. And that was all changed in Exodus chapter 12. So there's two different calendars. And by the way, the Messiah himself will fulfill both of those. And how do you prove that? Joel chapter 2 tells us over there, he's gonna bring us the former and the latter rain in the first month. How can you have the former and the latter rain in the first months when they're at the opposite ends of the year?
How's that? At one time, one was the former rain.
That's right.
It was changed to the latter rain.
That's right.
To the latter month.
That's right.
And now it's going to go back. So they're both going to happen the same month.
God changed
Pretty
the
awesome.
Number. God didn't change the season, but he changed the number on the month.
Rotation. You know, he rotated the
numbers. Rosh Hashanah used to be the first month of the Jewish year. Well, once they realized this and Passover came, well, they honor the civil new year. But think about this. The new year really starts now at Passover, because that's when God changed the calendar. And so he didn't change the season, he just changed the number. It went from number 7, Passover, to number 1. Trumpets went from what? Number 1 to number 7.
Well, you know, God was doing one thing in the first covenant, but then when Passover came, that's when Yeshua died.
That's right.
And a lot of people don't even know that, you know. So that's when it the priesthood changed. And so, you know, God changed everything, but he's going to bring everything back together, because he wants the one new man, the Jew and the Gentile.
You got it.
All one. So it's going to be the civil calendar and the prophetic calendar coming together as one.
Right.
Pretty awesome, isn't
it? That's right. And I'm going to let Marjorie share.
And you know, if you don't understand this, kind of sounds a little complicated.
But it's not.
But if you have Pastor Gene's commentary, this book that we talked about, and I don't think you showed the picture of it. You
want to
show
it? Yeah, we did. We held
it again. That was the first time. Show this again. And this is a picture of the book that he has written, commentary. It's called Pictures of the Messiah, God's Prophetic Calendar. Want to get it in front of the, because we're also on Facebook, and we will soon be on YouTube as well. So you can see that's God's Prophetic Calendar, Prophetic Pictures of the Messiah as revealed in the Feast of the Lord. So, you know, you can call us and you can purchase this book for $25 plus, well, why don't we just say plus $4
for shipping and handling.
$4 to bundle it up and ship it and handle
it. That's right.
So, you know, $25 or $30, you can have this book, and you can have plenty of time to study. And, you know, you don't read it as a book. You read it as, because when each feast comes along, like right now, would be a good time to read the one on Rosh Hashanah, because that's what will be coming up on the fall festivals.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want to go, you might want to read the calendar, because it's good. If you don't know the calendar, then you're going to have problems understanding it.
Oh, yeah.
So the calendar is in the first chapter. But then go and you read what interests you, or the season that we're in, you know?
You don't read just like a regular book. You pick out the appointed time and you study it.
That's it.
That's all you have to do.
And then you can share it and you can teach it. And this book is being taught in many, many places, not because it's not a denominational book. No, it lines up with the
Word of God.
And every place you have two or three scriptures?
Yeah.
Two or three scriptures. So, you know, we're not looking at
it. They're all in the book.
At a denominational belief or certain religious belief. No, we're looking at just from the Word of God. And Pastor Gene uses the King James Bible throughout it. Amen? So you want to, so Margie's going to share?
I want to say one thing when I'm going to turn it over to her. We got to remember what we're talking about here. This season from Elul 1 until Tishri 10 is very important. And the whole theme of this is to get put in the right book before trumpets, so you'll be sealed for the Day of Atonement when the Lord comes. Amen? So I wrote that in my book. The message from Elul 1 to Rosh Hashanah is very clear. Repent before Rosh Hashanah. Do not wait until after Rosh Hashanah, or you'll find yourself in the days of awe. And I don't want to be there. It means awe. It means it's going to be terrible. Okay, Miss Margie's got some things. And I was really kind of quickening to you about the holy things you were talking about.
Amen.
Go right ahead.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Pastor Gene. That was a wonderful word. And like to continue in the Word, also even going through the Torah today. Yes. And the Torah is holy. And God is raising the standard today.
Yes.
In our lives to live a holy life before Him.
Yes, Lord.
Praise the Lord. And I give Him all honor and glory, for His name is holy, mm-hmm. and His word is holy and true for all generations. He was and He is the great I Am.
He sure is.
So this afternoon, I would like to share from Deuteronomy 11. The lesson was 11 through 16. But I just would like to key on chapter 11 and 12 today. And it is concerning parents raising their children. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
And so we can, as we're listening, we can apply this season of teshuvah and repentance as I share today. So we thank You, Father, for Your word, and we give You all the honor and all the glory. And the Torah is the teaching instruction of God.
Hallelujah.
And it's the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Thank You. So in chapter 11, I would like to start in verse 13. And I'm reading from the King James Bible. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto My commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul.
Yes.
Thank You, Lord.
Yeah.
In this lesson, the Lord our God is teaching the children of Israel to love Him with all their heart and with all their soul. Thank You, Father.
Yes.
And also in verse 22, for if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to cleave unto Him. Thank You, Father. Well, in 23, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. And also, if we could go to verse 26,
mm-hmm.
27 and 28, please. Behold, I set before you this day,
yes,
a mm. blessing and a curse.
Mm-hmm.
A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And we can apply that to our life right now, today, this very day. We can teshuvah, we can examine ourselves, and we can repent this very day as the Lord commands us to love Him with all our heart. And in verse 28, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Amen. If they obeyed God's commandments, they were blessed. If they did not want to do God's commandments, there were consequences. These statutes and commandments still apply for the children of God today. So as these principles were taught to the adults, God also commanded that they teach their children. So in verses 18, 19, and 20 of chapter 12, if we could go to chapter 12, and verse 18. Thank you, Father. But thou must eat them before the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite that is within thy gates. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God in all that thou puttest thine hands to. So everything that you do, do as unto the Lord. And now I go back to chapter 11 and verse 18, and it says, therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. All the commandments that the Lord is telling us here in Deuteronomy, and ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. Parents were to be diligent in teaching them so that they would not forget, and to remember them all the days of their lives, and so that they would not depart from them. So I was thinking about these scriptures and thinking about today's Christian parents. We also have a big responsibility to teach our children very early God's precepts, His commandments, and how to reverence God, to have a holy fear of the Lord. And as I have learned, it's not just taking them to church for Sunday school.
Jet boy, you're right.
And there be nothing more spoken during the week. We should share God's word in the morning.
Amen.
In the noon and at night times.
Yep.
There are many ways that to share God's word and God's love to our children. There's so many tools that's been provided for us to teach our children in very creative ways.
That's right.
And the reason it's important today, when children begin school from grades 1 through 12, and probably even kindergarten, they are taught more than reading, writing, and arithmetic. They are taught the ways and cultures of the world.
That's right, boy.
In college as well.
Yeah.
And in colleges as well. And you know, maybe even very, very strict.
Much pressure.
There's so much pressure in the colleges. And if your child has not been taught the precepts and the commandments, it'd be very easy for them to fall away.
That's right.
God is telling the children of Israel, when they were to go in and possess their land that were given by God, they had to utterly destroy their altars, burn down their images of their gods, the idols. God said, do not serve their gods.
That's right.
This verse can be found in Deuteronomy 12, 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hewn down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God. That's in verse 4.
Right.
And when we are born again, we now know and we serve the one true God.
Hallelujah.
So it's important for our children to be taught these precepts, because once they go to school, they are taught other cultures and religion, and showing them how to worship and how and who and how to worship. They are also taught in our schools gender change.
That's right.
And they show them that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they also teach them that it's acceptable same-sex relationships. And I was just very shocked when I heard that, that it's these things are okay. So it's so important that we bring up our children with the right concepts of
morality,
husband and wife,
yeah,
where the children's place are, and what God, how God wants us to live a holy life.
Absolutely.
If your child is not trained in the godly principles, statutes, and commandments, they can very easily be persuaded to follow other cultures. And in Proverbs, I'd like to back that up. In Proverbs, if we have enough time, Pastor Gene,
you're okay.
Still? Okay, in Proverbs 22, please. Proverbs 22 and 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Amen. Very key. Very important.
Thank you. It's not a suggestion.
That's right.
As I said, you could take your child to Sunday school,
yeah,
and the rest of the week, but he wants us to get the precepts and commandments down deep into their hearts.
That's right.
Amen. Teach them a holy reverence for the Lord. Tell them how much God loves them and how much you love them. And as a grandmother, and what I have learned from the holy word of God and from the Torah, I can encourage my grandson to teach my great-grandchild. Encourage them the precepts, the commandments, and Jesus' special gift of salvation.
That's right.
So we thank you, Father, for your word.
Yes.
And we thank you for this time of teshuvah.
Yep.
Lord, that if we need to repent and begin to change.
Go a new way.
Go a new way.
That's right.
So we thank you, Father.
Because I want to make sure people stay out of the book of the wicked. And a lot of them are walking in that intermediate group. We need to have them come to Yeshua the Messiah and get put in the book of the righteous, do the right things, and they'll have no concern about where their future's going to be. It'll be in eternity. And, you know, Jesus is coming back, whether people believe it or not. He will be coming back. And so it's important we understand this. And he's promised that, and he will be here.
Amen.
So you got to keep that in mind when we talk about all these things. And the books are important. So that tells you God's checking up on us. Isn't he right, Pastor Donna? He's checking up on us all the time. He's got a book. He's keeping track of the stuff that we're doing. You know the songs they sing at Christmas? You know, what is it that Santa Claus is keeping a book and all that stuff? Well, see, that's a bunch of foolishness. That's paganism.
That's the world.
That's the world. We get that into our kids' heart instead of, hey, I want to keep God's commandments. You know, that's what I want. And I didn't have that growing up. And nobody in this room really had it.
That's interesting.
Growing up.
A lot of people teach their children about Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
And they take them to visit Santa Claus and sit on his lap and all the things that they want. And they make their list, you know, checking it twice and so all that. And, you know, but here we are doing things like that are, like you said, paganism. It's
paganism.
All pagan. And he even talks about that in the Bible, about setting up a tree.
That's right.
And it means
putting balls on nothing. It.
It's worshiping nothing.
Worshiping it. Yeah.
So who do we worship? We need to also teach our children not just the commandments, but to worship the Lord and to sing praises unto him. And, you know, we sing the national anthem. We sing other songs. but we should learn to teach our children how to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, because the Bible talks about worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So it's a relationship. You're teaching
right.
your child to have not only a relationship with you, with the mother and the father, but first of all and foremost would be to have a relationship with God, to have a relationship with the Lord, and to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know?
That's right.
Just as He's bringing the Jew and the Gentile together, He's bringing the family together. He wants the family. So much of the family, many of the children have never even been in a church, let alone had, spent time in their family, with their families having times of worship in their home.
That's right.
And we can all say we've been guilty of that at one time in our life. And that's a good thing to repent of too, isn't it?
That's right.
That we need to put God first. It says God first.
That's right.
God must be first in our life. Amen.
So as we close this program out today, we've got a few more minutes.
7 minutes, Pastor Jim.
Yeah, I know. Let's talk about some of the names and themes and idioms as mentioned during Rosh Hashanah and Teshuvah. Now, in my book here that I wrote, if you buy the book, I'm trying to remember how many I put in there. Was it 8? It's 12. First is called Teshuvah. We said that means what? Repentance. Another term is Rosh Hashanah. It means the head of the year or the birthday of the world. Yom Teruah, the day of the awakening blast, the Feast of Trumpets. That's blown and talked about. Yom Hadin, we mentioned that a while ago. What's that? The day of judgment. Hamalek. We say that in our prayers, don't we, on Saturday. Hamalek. What's that mean? The coronation of the Messiah. Yom HaZikron, the day of remembrance or memorial. That's the group that is in this area right now for most of us in the world. And God wants them to be removed from that book and put in the righteous. The seventh thing, the time of Jacob's trouble, better known as the birth pangs of the Messiah. The second one, or the eighth one, the opening of the gates. That's in Isaiah 26, 2:2-3. Open the gates for the righteous to enter in. Amen. And the ninth one, the wedding ceremony. Number 10, the resurrection of the dead. They call it, the church calls it the rapture. It's a catching away. In Hebrew, it's the word natzal. It means, it's N-A-T-Z-A-L, a snatching away. And then 11, the last trump. Next week, we're going to talk about the last trump. I've heard so many teachings about the last trump that are out in left field because they don't understand what the Bible is really saying. We're going to discuss that next week and show you what the last trump really is, okay? That's going to be next week. Number 12, Yom HaKisa, the hidden day. And then, trumpets is the hidden day. You know, the moon disappears for how long? For about almost 3 days, and then it reappears. It's a picture of the Messiah as well. It's amazing when we think about what God's done with it. So He's given us all the pictures. It's called, I like it, the hidden day. We don't know for sure, do we? But He's coming, hallelujah.
He's coming, amen.
He's coming a lot sooner than a lot of people think He's coming, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So there's a lot of things we could talk about during this time called Teshuvah, and we need to remember that. And some of the terms that we use here, like in America, they probably wouldn't understand what they mean. It's like if we went to some foreign country and we said, tomorrow's Turkey Day. Well, some people might know it's Thanksgiving and some people may not, okay? But we have those terms, and so we have to learn some of those idioms, don't we? Remember this, when Jesus mentioned, you will not know the day nor the hour when I come, all right? The day nor the hour. When the Jews heard that, you know what their first thought came to them? He's looking for a new moon. Because it always came while they honored one of 2 days. And they were looking for that sliver of the moon to appear. And in the head of the Sanhedrin would come out and announce and say, they call it a born again moon. And it's a picture of Yeshua. And so, we have so much that we can learn from with all this to teach us about the Messiah. And God wants us to move on and grow up in these things. And so there will be no confusion if we just stay with the Word of God. And remember, this book I have in front of me is a Jewish document. Everybody that had anything to do with this book, they were all Jews. They wrote in here for you and I. So we ought to have their thought, shouldn't we? Huh? We should. Now I want to close with one place. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 2 with you. And we're going to close here. And remember, next week, I'm going to talk about the last trump. I've heard so many hokey teachings about the last trump. But when we have the Jewish understanding in the heart of it, well, it comes really clear what God's trying to tell us. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see how much time we got. We're okay. Verse 15 of chapter 2 of Ephesians. Listen to this. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law. This means the commandments, the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, mostly legalistic things, huh? Okay. For to make in himself of twain, twain means two, one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile, listen to this, both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So he wants the Jew and Gentile to be what? To one in Messiah.
One new man.
And came and preached peace to you which were far off. Who were those? The Gentiles. And to them that were nigh. Who were those? Those were the Jewish people. Okay? And through him we both have what? Access, I love this, by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. He's talking to the Gentiles here in Ephesus. Verse 20, and this is a key verse, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together to groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. It's wonderful, huh?
Amen. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're Spirit of Prophecy Ministry, and on this radio broadcast, Raising the Standard. I hope you were blessed today. And if you'd like a copy of this, you can give us a call. And it's area code 772-285-7007. We do have a Shabbat service today at 2 p.m. at the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida. So I'll give you our phone number again. It's area code 772-285-7007. We pray that you have a blessed Sabbath and that you would just refresh yourself in the Lord, because God wants to bless each and every one of you. And he's calling us to all seek him in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Absolutely.
And to his commandments. I was reading in 1 John today how it talks about the commandments. God wants us to know what his word says and to be obedient. So we just bless you this day. And we say, what do we say?
Shabbat shalom.
Sabbath peace and rest. And we just give God the glory and give him all the praise for
and
what he's
honor.
Doing and all the honor. Amen.
And we
Amen.
Pray you'll all be written in the book of the righteous, the Lamb's book of life. Not just the book of life that we talk about sometimes, but it's going to be the Lamb's book of life. That's what we want you all to be. That's what this program's all about. So if you don't know the Messiah, ask him to come into your life today, and he'll come in a moment of time and change your whole life. That's all you have to do. Lord, I'm a sinner. I know that I need a Savior. I'm asking you to come in and take over my life. And you know what? Your life will be changed. It changed Don and I, and it's been that way for a lot of years. I would never think about going back again. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.